Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew. And together we're arguing about the things that really matter in game.
We are indeed. Oh. And it's a happy 2017 to everybody.
Yep, finally gotten rid of 2016.
Not convinced 2017 is going to be better, but hope.
you've seen everyone talking about, how 2016 was terrible, 2017, let's make it much better. This is the one where Trump's actually going to be better.
Exactly, it's the fallout, so...
This doesn't seem like it's going to be a better year. Sure it will be.
We have hope, which is... quite exactly. Fitting for today's episode.
It is.
Which is episode 1 of season 3 of Argue the Toss.
It is, yeah.
Welcome, dear listeners, and thanks for tuning in. Our episode is?
We're covering something that we covered a couple of times in season 2. We did the trailers for Rogue One, and today we're going to be talking about the actual film scene. And by that, I mean us and presumably all of our listeners at this point.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say this will be a spoilers.
Yeah.
Edition.
This isn't going to be a review. We're not going to recommend whether you should go and see it or not.
Although, no. We're assuming that you've seen it. Exactly. So, shall we do a sort of first impressions, like when you came out of the cinema? We went to see it together with a bunch of our nerd friends.
Indeed.
The nerds assembled.
Yeah.
And we went and we saw... And what were your sort of initial feelings coming out?
Yeah, I mean, I came out of the cinema having enjoyed it. I'm not going to say I really, really enjoyed it, but I thought it was a good film. I thought it was exciting. I wasn't bored by it for huge swathes of time. You know, it was exciting. It kept moving. It was a good, fun film.
I was pleasantly surprised because we were so down on the trailers.
Yeah.
But I think the trailers misrepresented the film, really. So I was very pleasantly surprised, and as a result, I came out feeling very happy. It was a good Star Wars Christmas experience, cinema-going experience. Yeah, I was really pleased.
As spin-off, it was...
They're taking... lots of care with it. You could feel that. So, you know, it wasn't just like, this is a money-making exercise. Let's get some more toys on the shelves.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you mentioned, the trailer sort of misrepresented it. I'm not sure I feel that's the case. I think the stuff that disappointed me in the trailer was the stuff that I found weakest in the actual film as well. Specifically Felicity Jones's character Jyn Erso. I've got all new Star Wars names. Really when we talked about the first Rogue One trailer, we were talking about how some of the dialogue was kind of there was the "this is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel" line, which I think we both thought was a little bit lame, and mercifully is not actually in the film. But it was setting her up as being this really rebellious sort of edgy character, and then in the second and third trailers that seemed to have been dialed back a bit, and she was now just this sort of standard speech giving heroic character. And I think what came across in the film was that they didn't quite know what to do with her. They didn't really flesh out her backstory much. She didn't get much of a characterization, I thought. I just felt like the film was struggling to give her a real personality. She was kind of just a collection of sort of weak tropes.
What bothered me about the trailers was that she just seemed to be... that I think they gave her a better reason than I thought they had to actually be involved.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, so it makes more sense now. But from the trailers, it looked like it's like, hey, you're like, your dad's got like this weapon thing, and we thought you could go in because, you know, you're like this teenage girl. Yeah. I was just like, how's that going to hang together?
Yeah.
And I think they gave him a better reason to engage her.
Yeah.
So that's what I liked, because, you know, otherwise you'd have just been lost from the beginning and been like, okay, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Transformers.
That's definitely true, yeah.
Yeah.
What I wanted was more on that, like, there's the opening scene where she's a little girl and then it cuts to her being in the prison or whatever it is.
Mm.
And it never really touches on what she was doing between that time. Like, you know, she was with Saw, she was working as part of the rebellion or whatever she was doing. But you it's really vague and light on detail. You
Yeah.
don't. I just really wanted more on her personality, more on how she's been built, what kind of character, and I just didn't get that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And like, it was very pacey, wasn't it? So
Yeah,
they
it was.
kind of didn't have time to stop and hang around for that stuff that might have been really interesting. Because we were planet hopping, weren't we, for the first act was like planet hopping, going, oh, we've got these guys, and then they've blown up now, and then we're over here. And, so yeah, I do agree. Although I think I liked her better than what was the other one called? Oh, now I've remembered her name. It's pushed out the other Star Wars. So
You mean
Ren,
Ray?
Ray. Yeah, I think I prefer. I don't know if it's because I prefer the actress. I think I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, the reason I preferred Rey, and the reason I did was because I felt like her character was, focused on and developed. You kind
Yeah,
it it
definitely.
you find out why she is the way she is. You know
Well,
exactly where
she's
she's
the
coming from.
new hero of a trilogy, isn't she? So they had to, whereas
Yeah, I guess
this
so. They had
is
more time to do it.
this is a throwaway character, and they just didn't have time because they had this bazillion other characters to introduce as well. Whereas
I feel like there was some stuff elsewhere in the film that could have been cut down to give the main
to give
character
them a
some.
bit more room. Okay, so but yeah, I liked her on the whole. I from the trailers I thought I was going to be annoyed, but yeah, I liked her relationship with her dad. I liked the way they set up the relationship with her dad, and I liked that the scene with Mads Mikkelsen when the sort of they infiltrate the base and stuff like that. I really liked that scene. I thought it was a really sort of heartfelt scene. I thought it was done well.
Absolutely.
Considering we hadn't had that much, they hadn't had that much screen time together,
No.
that ending did have impact and weight, I thought. Not ending of the story, but the ending of their arc together. So yeah, I liked it.
I felt that scene. It was a good scene. There was the moment though where she's like he's just closed his eyes and died, and Cassian sort of comes along and goes, "He's gone. Leave him." And like, do check first. You
Oh,
know
right,
that,
I
yeah.
see.
Like, do
Yeah, he
check the
might have just
pulse.
conked
Yeah, like
out. Yeah,
people in general don't tend to die right after they close their eyes. Life is
yeah.
rarely that specific with it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but yeah,
Yeah.
it left
But
him
I
there.
guess he was panicking.
But
So,
yeah, I mean, in general, Mads Mikkelsen good. Particularly
yeah,
good, but
very
not.
watchable cheekbones.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, he wasn't the most outstanding character in this film or anything, but job well enough is
Yeah, he
always very
did.
watch.
Yeah, he is very watchable. The great landscape at the beginning, I loved that. That's one of the things I liked about this film was it did give us very different landscapes to ones we've seen before. I mean, obviously there were familiar ones as well, but that kind of Icelandic, I don't know, Iceland or whatever it is. I don't know where it is, where it was filmed, where the location was. It was stunning though.
I don't know if I.
Really good, yeah. Okay, so what should we talk about? Some of the other people in the band of rogues.
The Dirty Dozen / Magnificent Seven / Hogan's Heroes or whatever. Well, there were a couple of good characters. There were a couple of weaker ones, I
Yeah,
thought.
I liked the pilot. I thought he was cool.
Riz Ahmed's character. I don't know what his act. I could look it up, but
No.
there we are.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I thought he was really cool.
he was pretty good. He was kind of sort of down to earth with it. Grounded the team quite well, I thought.
And Cassian, was it
Cassian,
Cassian?
I wasn't so hot on. I didn't think much of him. Like,
Okay.
I didn't think. I don't have anything particularly insightful to say about this, but
No.
he just felt like he's like Knights of the Old Republic has Carth Onassis. I'm going to annoy you here because I'm going to mention Caden as well. But he was just kind of the boring, vaguely roguish, but not really kind of white male lead character. He didn't get much to differentiate him. He didn't have much of a unique thing to him. He was just kind of there.
Which is where he departs from Caden, obviously. I know
Well,
that's what you were going
if we say
to
so, yeah.
say. So yeah, I know what you mean. He was a bit generic,
Yeah.
but yeah, I think they had the sort of, by the end they had their nice chemistry and stuff,
They
and I
did.
like the fact that it wasn't sealed with a kiss. I
No,
really liked that.
I was really. There's a scene where you're really worried that it is going to be sealed with a
Yeah.
kiss, and I was just sitting there, no, don't kiss that. But
Yeah,
you
just
wouldn't want to,
resist.
yeah.
Yeah, and they did, and so that
Yeah,
was good.
it
That
was
was great.
fun.
And I loved that scene on the beach at the end. I thought that was really nice, the sort of Terminator scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. Because I just kind of got wrapped up in it, and I was like, oh, my sun. So they're going to watch a sunset. And I was like, oh, hold on, that's no sunset. It was just like, oh, yeah, that's right. They all died. Yeah, okay.
Star
We're
Wars: The
here.
Sunset Walks into You.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I thought that was a nice ending. And the Donnie Yen's character and the, oh, I
Yeah.
can't remember any of these characters' names.
Chirrut Imwe.
Oh, well
Yeah.
done.
Yeah. Well, I've written it down. I didn't
Okay.
achieve any.
Okay. What's the guy with the big gun? He's
His name,
cool.
yeah, his name is, I don't know that actor. He is, that's Baze Malbus. Yeah.
Okay. I know the actor from stuff, but
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know his name.
Yeah.
But yeah, just
It doesn't say who the actor page I have.
yeah, I thought he was a really cool character with his muscles. I thought they were a good pairing, weren't
Yeah,
they?
they were.
That sort of like classic Kurosawa kind
Yeah,
of
absolutely.
yeah, partnership. And
Yeah,
the sort of Zatoichi kind of blind swordsman type thing.
I was like initially a bit skeptical of that. I think the Zatoichi, the blind character with daredevil powers sort of thing, has kind of been done to death. It's a bit of an old
Yeah,
cliche, isn't it?
but Star Wars is never did anything new. It did old
Oh,
things in
absolutely.
space.
It already owed a lot to Kurosawa and this thing.
Exactly, which I thought was really nice, that
Yeah.
like finally they get their day in the sun as
Yep.
opposed to just being appropriated. So although it was a short-lived sun, and then
Yeah,
the
but what I thought he had sort of one of the most interesting roles film. He kind of explores the Force as a metaphor for God. He had like the Force is his religion, like his constant mantra, and his last sort of the most one of the most overt portrayals of the Force. Like he's put in a position where his success is all break salt, and the Force he does his mantra, he speeds up a bit and does it a bit more pointedly, and the Force reaches in and protects him for sort of precisely as long as is necessary and no longer, and that's it, just enough to get to the thing. And yeah, it kind of it's the most direct. It's the part in Star Wars where it's been most directly addressed that the Force is basically just God.
Which is nice, because it brings it back to what we all thought the Force was in the first place,
Yeah,
as opposed to the
the midichlorian thing.
oh, shut up. Let's never speak of it again. And so yeah, it means that, with belief you can, anyone can, sort of become strong in the Force, which, the capability within us all kind of thing, as opposed to erasing it and making it a sort of genetic sort of hierarchy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought he was a cool character, as well, and gave it a real heart.
Yes, absolutely.
Those two characters, yeah. And the guy with the massive gun was just awesome as well. He
Yeah,
was a good fun character. And so what about the other sort of, I suppose the main character
Yeah.
was the droid.
Yeah, K2SO.
K2SO, yeah.
I think
How did you?
Possibly my favorite droid in the franchise. I really liked him. I thought he was
Yeah.
a really fantastic. Not well, he is a comic relief character, but he's got a bit more edge to him. I thought, yeah, he even more so than sort of HK-47. I thought he was a really good kind of just interesting droid character.
Yeah, I thought so too. The fact that it was an imperial droid who'd been deprogrammed, and sort of cynical, and yeah, I thought it was nice. And I liked their relationship at the beginning, where he, doesn't trust her, or and then she saves him, and then they're like, no, well, okay. Yeah, I thought
Yeah.
it was really nicely set up.
Yeah.
That it just wasn't just one for the kids, his
No,
gags
no.
for the kids. Yeah, so yeah, I thought it was a really nice character. Cool droid design as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that good moment sort of early on where she mistakes, well, she shoots one of the other K2 droids. Did you know that was me? You know that one, me? Yeah.
Oh, I did.
Really nice little moment.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool scene as well. The scene in Jeddah, wasn't it?
Which one in particular?
With the kind of the guerrilla warfare on the streets.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a really cool scene, and not very Star Warsy.
It was really cool to see an actual war film set in the Star Wars
universe. It made all the things they've talked about just feel more real, which is what these spin-offs should do.
Absolutely.
It's like fill out the world as opposed to just spin some more puff, kind of. And it did make it's like, oh yeah, this is like the actual wars that were happening on the ground, basically.
Yeah. I think those were, even more so than the main plot and the main thrust of it, those were my favourite moments in the film, where you're just seeing what it's like living under Imperial occupation, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It was cool. Anything else? I suppose we should probably talk about Forrest Whitaker's character.
Yeah, he was slightly better than the trailers made him out to be, I thought. He was kind of an interesting guy. I didn't realise that he was from the Clone Wars cartoon. He's like a previous.
No, I didn't until afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was interesting. He was kind of a weird one. I'm not quite sure where to classify him. I'm not sure why he didn't get on the ship with everyone else when they were evacuating Jeddah. He just kind of decided to stand there and die to be a martyr, I guess.
Yeah. It was a bit. Yeah, I was just like, play Forrest Whitaker for heaven's sake.
We haven't
seen enough of him because he's such a great actor, and I don't think he really got enough.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, screen time. Really, I was just a bit disappointed. And they didn't edit out the terrible line from the trailer.
No, he didn't.
Had to shout. I can't even remember what it
save
was.
Save the rebellion.
Yeah, that's save it. Save yourself. Save the rebellion.
Yeah,
whatever.
They added a bit more to it as well than there's a save yourself that comes before it, which I didn't think the trailer.
So that was a bit disappointing because he played was it Mugabe he played in First King Scotland? Oh god, that's such a fantastic film.
Oh, was it not? No, isn't that Idi Amin?
That's it, Idi Amin. So, which is kind of what his character looks like he's set to become, doesn't he?
Sort of like
crazed dictator. So it could have been a really interesting character. I don't know anything about the character from the Clone Wars and what he is, so yeah, I might have to watch those. What's next on your list?
The next thing I've got written down here is talking about the CGI that was used to resurrect Peter Cushing. He did when I say resurrect, he did kind of look like a reanimated corpse.
Peter Cushing was always quite cadaver like, but I thought he just looked like that CG Scrooge film, which I really like.
The Jim Carrey one.
Yeah, which I've only just found out was Jim Carrey. I never knew that was Jim Carrey, but that's what he looked like, and I was just like, it's Scrooge. I just couldn't get it out of my head that it was Scrooge, and it just really ruined it.
Yeah.
Really, really didn't need it.
No, I don't think it did. It was really impressive, but not like it wasn't
impressive
completely
enough.
Convinced.
No,
and it had like everywhere people know the Uncanny Valley need to be absolutely convincing. It needs to be transparent. You get that you're watching a CGI character, and I just couldn't. No point while he was on screen did I feel like I was looking at Peter Cushing or looking at Tarkin. I was just looking at it. Oh look, this is it does look like him. Look at the texturing there, and look at all this. And the voice wasn't quite right. He didn't.
No.
Like, yeah.
That's the thing that really bothers me. And I was like, I mean, I haven't seen A New Hope for a long time
No.
or any Hammer horror films, but I was just like, he didn't sound like that.
No, and he didn't hold himself like that. He
No.
it felt like a completely different character looking
Yeah.
out from under the same skin, which was really
Yeah.
strange.
And if they really wanted to have him in there, fair enough, but I think they could have been cleverer with it. I mean, just look at Apocalypse Now and how they used Marlon Brando for like
Yeah.
hints on how to do a cameo,
Yeah.
basically, for someone who you don't really want in a glaring big spotlight. They could have like had him in shadows and just had him from the side or just done cleverer shots, but he was just like, it was just like a talking heads kind of thing.
I mean, Star Wars has done a similar thing before in sort of a reverse way, in that before they cast the Emperor, you see him in The Empire Strikes Back, and in the original sort of cut, it's not Ian McDiarmid, it's another guy, and they just do that by keeping him in shadow and just hinting at the sort of overall shape of the character, and that would have been much better.
It was distracting,
Yeah.
basically. Pulled you out,
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
scene,
Like, after those scenes had finished, I found myself thinking, "Oh, what just happened? What were they actually
I
talking
was
about?"
just about to say, I was just thinking exactly the same thing. I was like, what did you actually say in those
Yeah, no,
scenes?
exactly.
And the other thing I had a real problem was with Darth Vader.
Yeah.
We have different, you have problems with Darth Vader for different reasons, but I was really bothered because I was just like, why is his helmet so big? His helmet was completely the wrong proportions. And then I was like, it looks like Spaceballs. The helmet was so big. And then I started looking at the person who was playing, in the cloak,
Yeah.
and he was massive. I don't mean tall. I mean, he was like built like Arnie or something, or even bigger. He was built like a wrestler or something.
Yeah.
But Darth Vader never was that. He was tall, but he was
Yeah.
quite slender. He just like, and it, I mean, the width of the guy's shoulders, like it was just
Yeah.
wrong. And so then obviously this guy had like these massive shoulders, this really thick neck, and obviously had a big head. And
Yeah.
so then they had to build a big helmet, and it just looked ridiculous. Oh
Yeah.
God, I was so bothered by
I'm gonna say I didn't notice that at all. I was he just kind of looked like Darth Vader for me. I only need the mask and then I know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just like, who the hell is in there? He's enormous. Okay, yeah, so that's what bothered me about Vader. So I probably wasn't listening to what he was saying because I was just, I had
Distracted the
another
same
Peter
way.
Cushing moment,
Yeah.
basically. So.
I mean, my problem with him was that I don't understand what he was in the film for at all. I added nothing to the plot. What I like the bit at the end where it's where he's sort of chasing down the plans as they escape and get the Tantive IV, and he appears in the corridor, this just specter of death, and he's tall and he's imposing and he's got his lightsaber and he just starts tearing people apart. I
Oh,
like
it's so
that
good.
moment. If it had just been that moment, that would have been fantastic. I don't understand why we had to go to Mustafar, which is kind of the only planet that they don't name when they cut to it, which is a strange and see him sort of having a chat with this Tarkin-alike villain who's kind of, I guess his thing is that he's power grabbing, he's trying to work his way up, he's a social climber, and Vader doesn't like. But I'm not that interested in watching Darth Vader deal with sort of internal politics.
Middle
Yeah,
management.
no, exactly. And he's kind of given the worst line in the film as well, where he does the Force choke test, and he goes, "Don't choke on your own ambition." I'll say, I, yeah,
Oh
since
my
when has
God,
he done? Since when has he learned
yeah.
any terrible
Quips.
wordplay?
No.
There is, I mean, he's not completely humorless. There's the really great moment in Empire Strikes Back, which is "Apollo accepted, Capita." That's one of my favorite lines. But this just it was just kind of lame. He didn't need to say it. It weakened him as a character.
Well, I don't think it goes that far, but yeah, it was a rubbish line. I don't know. I know why they did it. It's kind of just fan service, isn't it, to have Vader in there and stuff.
Yeah,
So,
which is just, I don't like anything that's just done for fan service. Do something for creative interest
for a
instead.
reason. I know what you're saying, but I do love the way they kind of sandwiched it up against A New Hope.
Yeah.
The ending was really great because it's like, oh my God, it was just like, it was getting so close. And I just wanted to sit there and for A New Hope to start, basically, and sit there for like another 90 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
it was really exciting the way they did that.
Yeah, I think that'll be thrill. something to do when like the Blu-ray comes out or whatever.
Yeah, it's just definitely
do the trilogy, but with that in as a bookend to it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll definitely do the two. I'm not sure I can do a whole sitting of the trilogy, but
I can always do a whole sitting of the trilogy.
That's a lot of movie watching in one day, but. I suppose films are shorter in those days, aren't they? I don't know what the running time of them all is.
A New Hope is, I think, around 120 minutes, so 2 hours. So it's about the same length as the Rogue One.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never felt that. Wow. I thought it was a 90-minute movie. There you go. So, what was I going to...
It's 2 hours, 5 minutes.
There are probably Star Wars geeks shouting at it. It's 127 minutes. How do you not know this? You're not qualified.
That depends which version you're watching, of course.
Yes. what was I going to say? And so overall, I felt it was really tense, you know, because basically it is a caper, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, so I felt it was tense all the way, you know, I was like on, you know, the edge of my seat, not literally, but, you know, sometimes literally, actually. Sometimes, yeah, I did want to sit forward and, yeah, I liked the pace of it was really nice, I thought. It didn't feel long in these days of long films. Oh. Everything's long. Some of them feel long.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, I wasn't bored during. Well, at some points, I think there were some slow bits, but
yeah,
most of it was really exciting. It carried itself along really well. It never got bogged down.
No. It was good. Yeah, I thought it was great. It looked great as well. Sort of moody and I liked the little nods to A New Hope. You know, some of the characters popping up. I thought it was really nice. Really unexpected. I didn't know they were coming. Just made you smile, and because they didn't have the sort of Star Wars theme, they didn't have the scrolling text at the beginning, and so, you know, it was very clear from the outset, you know, this is not Star Wars, a new part of this is, you know, a Star Wars story or whatever they're calling these spin-offs. So they made that very clear. But then to kind of make up for that, they threw in some, you know, this is still the Star Wars universe, you know, and love. And here are some people whose paths you may have crossed in other. Mm. You may know me from...
Get my arm chopped off in Mos Eisley Kingdom.
Exactly. So yeah, I really liked those things, and Jedi, I loved that city. It was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Felt really full and busy, and those people in the background, I don't know what they are, some kind of priests and things with the red robes on, and there was really interesting stuff going on without the silly sort of, I don't know, someone standing on a Jawa's toe or something. You know, like, they weren't like squeaky Muppets.
Yeah, the whimsy stuff, George Lucas.
Yeah, the sort of George Lucas element of it. So, yeah, it was really nice. I liked that. Mm. Yeah. I had a good time.
Yeah, I think it's a good film. You know, despite there were a lot of slightly disappointing bits, but it's something I'm going to watch again. I'm not. For example, the Clone Wars film, which I watched once, and I thought, okay, I'm going to ignore that. That's not really Star Wars. This I'm perfectly happy being in the canon.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, how do you rate it against The Force Awakens? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I think The Force Awakens would by far. I think The Force Awakens rate one of my favorite Star Wars. I don't think this is.
I think I preferred this.
Really?
I haven't seen The Force Awakens. I've only seen it once. I haven't seen it since it's come on DVD. Whereas I came out of this thinking, oh, I really want to see it again. I don't know. I have to watch them both again and so yeah, I just really want to see it again. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was pacier.
Oh yeah,
And
definitely.
I do like I'm a sucker for a heist. I love a
Yeah,
heist.
no, absolutely. I'm exactly the same.
I suppose we can't really go away from talking about a Star Wars film without mentioning the really sad loss of Carrie Fisher over the Christmas break. Because they did have more CGI, they did have the Princess Leia ending. I don't know what you thought of that. I didn't really like that either. I think they could have done that without a full face reveal. They could have just had a woman in a cloak and put, taking the thing and putting her hood up and walking
Oh,
away or
absolutely.
whatever.
Yeah, you could. They could have done Leia without actually having to show it. Like that. The opening from A New Hope is sort of, you do see her from the back with the hood up. No, you see her from the side. You don't see it, and that's an iconic silhouette.
I didn't feel they needed that, but
No.
then but now after the death of Carrie Fisher and I wrote I'm not we're not going to do a full tribute here or anything. I have written a tribute for gameindustry.com, so if you want to read my full thoughts on that, you can find that there. But it does make that more poignant now.
It does, yeah.
Her last line is something to do with hope, isn't it? I can't
It's
remember what
literally
it
all she
is.
says is hope. What is it? And she turns around.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, which is like oh, puts a lump in your throat now. And obviously we've got films 8 and episodes 8 and 9 to come out of which she was going to be in both of those. So they finished filming 8, so. Be interesting to see what they were setting up and what
How they're
sort of
going to deal with it.
rewriting. Yeah, exactly. So episode 9 is just going to be heartbreaking. I mean, we don't know what they'd planned anyway,
No, absolutely.
what they'd planned for Leia anyway, but yeah, it's going to be bad times that. So there we go. So, but it was a good film. I'm pleased. It carries on. Yeah, it's good. The trajectory is good. So, I think on that sort of sad yet hopeful note, which is so fitting for Star Wars, end of episode 1, season 3.
Absolutely.
We're beginning to sound like Star Wars ourselves.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that.
Episode 1, A New Hope for
Well,
2017.
wouldn't that make this our Phantom Menace? Oh
Oh
dear.
no. The only way is up then, sort of, with a bit of a down. So, until next time, Drew. Oh,
Oh yeah, no,
no.
we've changed the format. It's all new. You like this episode? We've done a lot more. We've done a whole other season of these, and you've done a whole other for that. You find them on search for gameindustry.com, Argue the Toss. We're on iTunes as well. There's an RSS feed on gameindustry.com itself. All of those
All of
things, and there's
those.
SoundCloud as well.
Give us a like and subscribe. It really makes a difference and helps the show reach more people. Recommend us to your friends.
Yeah, why wouldn't?
Exactly. Until next time, Drew.
Ta-ta. Season 3 difference.
I prefer Cheerio. Cheerio's good.
Okay, fair enough.
Cheerio.